The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And very good morning to you. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Donal Kavanagh with you in the hot seat until 12 noon today. You're very, very welcome. It's a Thursday. It's a little bit blustery. It's not the nicest of days, but it's not going to be the worst either. Reasonably mild for the time of year. We're going to be hitting in around about 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, as the weather forecast was saying. So it's mild. It's grand. Sit back, enjoy a coffee, have your beverage of choice, and enjoy the program. Listening, of course, on radio, as we did over the years. You can also, of course, listen online, listen on your smart speaker. You can listen on your smart TV, and you can listen variously through other ways as well, as well as listening on radio and in the traditional ways. You can, of course, watch the show unfold before you. We're on Highland Radio Ireland. That's our dedicated YouTube channel. The show being cast across our Facebook pages as well, which means when we have guests or in studio or indeed on Zoom, you can see them and you can watch those conversations as they unfold. If you want to make contact with the programme, text or WhatsApp us on 086 60 25000. You can call, of course, 0749 125000, 00353 749 125000, if you're outside of the Donegal dialing area. And you can email us on comments@highlandradio.com. It's a Thursday, which means we have quite a lot of local papers to look at, so we'll get straight to the papers this morning. Donegal News front page: €5 million to be spent on active travel projects. Chris Ashmore writes an estimated €1.5 million will be paid to contractors for work on the active travel between the hospital roundabout and Knocknamona roundabout in 2026. Also estimated there'll be €3.7 million to be spent on the traffic management and active travel works from the Polestar roundabout to the Creamery roundabout at Ballyrain. Also looking on the inside of the Donegal News, CAMS consultant post to be filled in January. That will be very good news. A meeting of the Regional Health Forum West told in Galway this week that Donegal Mental Health Services are currently working on filling the post, but the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service at this point in time doesn't have a consultant, and there has been no alternative service in place. So the sooner that appointment is made, obviously, the better. Front of the Tyrconnell Tribune this morning: firefighters' claims are completely inaccurate. The Donegal Firefighters Association is calling on Donegal County Council to clarify recent comments linking fire service charges to a workplace relations committee agreement. The Donegal Firefighters Association says it's deeply concerned by comments suggesting that the fire service call-out charges are linked with the WRC agreement. They say this agreement is funded by the Department of Finance. It follows a discussion at a meeting of Letterkenny Municipal District, which took place earlier this month. Front of the Derry News, a story we covered on the news here yesterday: racist graffiti daubed on home condemned. A home that was occupied by a Sudanese family in the Fountain Estate had "local only" painted on the front of the house with a crosshairs symbol as well. And particularly for people who are potentially fleeing persecution, something like a crosshair symbol could have a very deep and disturbing meaning for them, particularly if they're fleeing potential violence in their own home country. So that's a story in Derry is unfolding as we speak. That's the front of the Derry News. Moving on to the Nationals. An interesting story inside of the Irish Independent this morning. You'll have been listening to news yesterday and heard of money being ring-fenced for the 10T projects in Donegal. And indeed, whereas nationally a lot of talk about projects in Cork, Limerick and Dublin, the headline in the inside of the Irish Independent: Western counties biggest winners of new €22 billion transport windfall. Limerick, Galway and Donegal will get the largest state investment in roads infrastructure. We do have up to €1 billion to be used to fund the 10T project, somewhere between €510 million and €1 billion for the construction of 42 kilometres of road between Letterkenny Manor, Cunningham, Lifford and the Ballybuffet Stranorder Bypass. It's hoped construction can begin in 2028. That's the long spoken about 10T, which of course includes, as well as the Ballybuffet Stranorder Bypass, which has been a topic of conversation as long as I'm working here, and I'm here nearly 36 years. Also the much discussed bridge across the Swilly, the Bonagie Link as it's called, that forms part of that programme as well. We could see construction begin late 28, depending on how the planning process goes over the course of the next 2 years or so. Also, included. And this is interesting for people in Donegal when you look a bit further. County Monaghan will get between 500 and a billion over the next 5 years for the N2RD to Castle Blaney scheme and the N2 Clontibret to the Border Road. The N2 Slane bypassing County Meath will also be funded. Now, the N2, the first two parts of that, the RD Blaney and Clontibret to the Border, they effectively are the road from East and North Donegal to Dublin. So when we speak about these projects in Monaghan being done, what we're talking about is effectively improvements on the road between Donegal and Dublin. There has been much talk about the need for a motorway linking Donegal and Dublin. And if in the fullness of time we get the dualling of the A5, which is again another long discussed project for decades, if we also get those dual carriageways between Clontibret and the border and between Castle Blaney and RD, that will effectively mean that by and large it'll be almost totally a dual carriageway from, well, certainly from Strabane to Dublin. There is a new road between Letterkenny, between Manor and Lifford planned as well. I'm not sure that's a dual carriageway. Perhaps it is. I stand to be corrected on that, actually. Off the top of my head, I'm not 100% sure. But it's potentially a very interesting one, those routes in Monaghan getting approval in that development plan as well. Now, as we know, and we know from years of covering stories like this, there is many a slip twixt cup and lip. And inclusion in a development plan and a promise of future funding is one thing. Actual execution is another. And as we've seen with the A5, you don't know. There could be a court challenge. There could be a problem in the planning process. There could be many, many potential hiccups between now and then. But if all goes according to plan, by 2030, we'll have construction underway on some very, very important road projects, which will further ease the journey between here and the capital. And that'll serve as well as serving individuals travelling for appointments or shopping or entertainment or whatever. It'll also have a huge impact on business. And let's hope everything works speedily with those projects. Irish Times this morning, story on the inside pages. President yet to move into Áras or select key aides. Catherine Connolly intends to announce her appointments to the Council of State early in the new year, according to a spokesperson. Other key staff appointments have yet to be made. The President's closest advisor and key figure in her election campaign, Bevan O'Connor, has joined her as a special advisor, but there's been no decision on any future appointments. The President hasn't actually moved into Áras and Uachtaráin yet. There are still minor reservations taking place since Áras was vacated by the previous incumbent, Michael D. Higgins, and his wife, Sabina. Ms Connolly is currently staying at the Stewart's Lodge at Farmley House. It's understood a date hasn't been made yet as to when the President will be able to move into Áras on Uachtaráin. Also a story covered in many papers this morning. Grieving brother urges teens not to inhale deodorant. A brother has urged teenagers to stay away from inhaling deodorant fumes, saying it's not worth it, not even for one day. Andrew Maguire's plea comes just 2 months after the death of his older brother Daniel, who was just 14 when he died after inhaling deodorant fumes. And a chill went up my spine when I read that story, because I am of an age that I can well remember there was a huge focus on sniffing glue in the mid to late 1970s. At that point, I would have been in my mid-teens. I turned 16 in 1980. So between 1975 and 1980, I was basically 14, 15, 16, 17. I was sort of between 10 and 16. I was in those early teen years at that point in the 70s when sniffing glue was a big thing. And it was something that we were all sort of so nervous about and scared of. Now, you tended to hear about it being done elsewhere. I certainly didn't know anybody that did. And I certainly wasn't going to touch anything like that. And I know that sort of fear, that sort of whole sniffing glue thing, still evokes within me. And I got that same feeling back again when I read that deodorant story. We haven't heard a story. Now, that's not to say it's not been going on in the background, but I haven't heard a story like that for a while. And it is deeply, deeply disturbing. Irish Daily Mail this morning. Interesting story on the front page. Faoltear Ireland Climate Action Official among objectors to Metrolink. This is despite the tourism body saying the project is vital. And it raises an interesting question. It basically, a person who works with Faoltear Ireland as a climate action officer is objecting to Metrolink. Now, the argument is Metrolink is going to take a load of cars off the road, and Metrolink is going to be a better alternative, because we're told constantly that public transport is a better alternative than cars. So a climate action officer with a tourism body should be welcoming action to improve that. But on the other hand, individuals do have rights in terms of objecting to something. And I think the objection seems to be along the lines of the impact it's going to have on property values in her area. The person in question has invested in a home. Presumably they want to protect that investment. And, you know, yet you have this interesting sort of question. It's raised too among politicians. We hear it constantly, and it's a tactic used by the government a lot in Leinster House. Whenever Sinn Féin speak about the housing crisis, one of the issues that keeps on coming back is, oh, your members have objected to developments here, your members have objected to developments there. And it raises a really interesting question, and I think a question we haven't quite fully grappled with yet in this country, which is, where do you draw the line between the right of the individual to make a personal intervention in something like that versus the role they play and the role they hold in an organisation, be it a state organisation or indeed be it a private organisation. Let's move to the tabloids. And there's one story which is interesting, and it's in both The Star and The Mirror. It's front page on The Star this morning. Doll I want for Christmas. And crafty city street hawkers are flogging Jerry Hutch Christmas merchandise, including mugs, wrapping paper and Santa hats with Merry Christmas from Jerry on them. Yeah, and this basically comes after Jerry Hutch, 62, basically confirmed that he will be looking at standing in the Dublin Central by-election, which is due to take next year, place next year. There is a by-election in Dublin Central because, of course, Pascal Donoghue last week confirmed he is moving to Washington, D.C., and he is becoming a senior manager with the World Bank. Therefore, there is a vacancy in Dublin Central. Therefore, there will be a by-election, and Jerry Hutch will be one of the contestants running. Candidates, excuse me. Jerry Hutch will be one of the candidates, and it raises that the spectre of, and we saw how close he came in the general election last year. Now, it's a by-election is a different beast, but you don't know what happens, you don't know what sort of perspective people will take, and one of the issues we have in elections is by-elections and referendums very often can effectively become referendums on the performance of the government. So people will take a by-election and they will effectively use that to pass judgment on the government. And they will vote for someone who is anti-government, seen as a bit of an anti-establishment figure, seen as a bit of an outlier, and seen as the focus of a protest vote. And I would imagine that Jerry Hutch's advisers and his campaigners will be very much focusing on that. Vote for Jerry, give the government a bloody nose. And we'll get that really, really focused in Dublin Central during the by-election. And it remains to be seen what happens. But for the moment, I mean, you know, not only will there be posters on the lines, but there'll be Santa hats with the name on them. I have to say that the puns are out in force on this story. As I say, the front page of the Star is Doll I Want for Christmas. In The Mirror, it's an inside story. And the headline in The Mirror is Have Yourself a Jerry Little Christmas. So it's Christmas, folks. The puns will be out in force more and more in the coming weeks. Let's move to The Mirror. Inside The Mirror, there's a very sad story. Like many people, I became completely caught up in the Traitors celebrity version last month and utterly enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed the Traitors, actually. And we hear this morning that Celebrity Traitor star Ruth Codd has had a second leg amputated. The Wexford-born actor lost her right leg below the knee because of a footballing injury, and she in no way hit it when she was on the programme, and now she has confirmed that the left leg has been taken off below the knee as well. Another story, and I saw this morning on social media, I saw a video clip of this. Anthem Ashina Fina failure. Ireland fell to a 3-1 defeat in their European Under-19 qualification opener against group favourites Sweden yesterday, but the girls in green picked up an early win when they sang Aron the Vian by themselves after a massive mishap at the organisers' behest led to God Save the King being played as the Irish national anthem. So the girls were standing there, they were waiting to hear Aron the Vian. What they heard was bam, bam, ba, ba. And you could hear the howls of protest. Immediately it stopped, and the girls, fair play to them, just sang Aron the Vian. Well, that is what you call a cock-up. Let's look at the Farmers' Journal, which is the actually, no, we're going to look, I believe, just one story in The Sun this morning. And It's, I get my blood removed, washed and put back. It's helped me age backwards. Simon Cowell on his extraordinary bid for immortality. He gets the blood removed, washed. I seem to recall there was claims years ago that Keith Richards was doing that, having blood removed in a clinic in Switzerland, and it was being treated as some sort of science fiction. Anyway, and finally for this morning, the Irish Farmers Journal, because it's a Thursday, Department makes more cuts to farmer payments. That's the main headline on the Irish Farmers Journal. And also inside, there's the second part of their investigation into cattle in Brazil and the farming practices there. That's obviously very important in terms of Mercosur, and that noise behind me suggests I just tried to put the Farmers Journal onto a chair and missed. Let's go to line one, joined by Councillor Kieran Brogan. He's a Mayor of the Letterkenny Milford Municipal District and also a member of the Regional Health Forum West. And Kieran, good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal.
Kieran, an issue that's raised very often at the forum by yourself and other members from Donegal is ambulance response times and the volume of ambulances being dispatched for people who contact NowDoc out of our service. In the past 3 years, you sought figures from the forum. You were given those figures this week and you're assessing what sort of trends are coming from them. What are the headlines of what you've been getting?
Well, I think it's a worrying development, Donal, and something I've watched closely and monitored over the last number of years. Is back in the day when NowDoc was firstly set up, it was a great model of keeping particularly a lot of elderly and sick people at home rather than everyone going to the hospital. And at the time, the doctor would have went to visit the patient in the care. But that trend seems to have changed. Especially since COVID, and a lot of the time the cares are not being dispatched out to the patient, and a lot of the time then an ambulance is being dispatched. And the concern that I have, there's a lot of the time there's ambulances bringing people maybe to the hospital that in my opinion maybe could be kept at home. And what's really happening in the worrying trend for me is that the very fact that sometimes ambulances are all busy, if you like, and maybe somebody that needs the ambulance most in an emergency, there's no ambulance available for them. So I think we need to look, and it was acknowledged at the meeting and by the management on Tuesday that it's something they need to have a good, honest and fresh look at it. I think there's a role here for the GPs. I think the GPs need to be actively monitoring and trying their best to keep as many patients as they can at home. And I think in fairness to the community, the community people over the last while that have set up a lot of the good work that's happening there and keeping people at home, the paramedics, community paramedics, is doing very well. That new initiative that was launched by the ambulance service in the last number of years called Pathfinder, that has been very successful as well. And I suppose I'll be asking that that's extended to longer hours as well, because the success of that has been huge.
Is the problem here that effectively in some people's eyes what's happened is Pathfinder has almost replaced that NowDoc car? Because I mean, what Pathfinder does, it dispatches paramedics in a special car to a home with the intention of helping the person in the home and keeping them in the home and not necessitating them going to hospital. I mean, that effectively seems to be duplicating what NowDoc used to do, but instead of becoming a partner to and complementary to NewDoc, to NowDoc, what it's actually done is it's become a replacement.
That's a very, very fair assessment, Donald. But then the question you need to ask immediately, what is NowDoc doing now? And what is the doctors in NowDoc doing? And what are they doing to keep patients in the home? And I think there is and there has been a different trend in the county, and this is someone I've raised previously as well. There are certain areas in Donegal that are excellent, where they're keeping the patients home. Then there's areas that are not so good, and people are being sent to hospital. One could be forgiven for thinking that, you know, it's the easy option to send everyone to A&E. And I think that's wrong, and it's not fair, and it's not right, and it's not fair in the patients, and particularly elderly patients, to be sending them into A&E. And, you know, we're talking now at a time when the winter really hasn't hit, and the weather hasn't got really cold yet. And to be sending elderly and vulnerable people in to maybe where they'll pick up more viruses, I think is wrong. So I think we need to be, and I've asked that the primary care team, along with the hospital management and the ambulance service, has a fresh look at the model or the assessment that they're doing. I know we hear the word triage, which is effectively the assessment of the patients, but I think there needs to be a fresh look at that. And everybody has a role to play, because the one thing I'll keep saying is people should think before they call an ambulance, because that ambulance could be better used for somebody who needs it in emergency. And we've had far too many incidents of recently where people have had to wait far too long for ambulances to arrive. So I think everybody has a role to play in this. I'm highlighting this because I think it's a real issue, and I think collectively we have a job to do to try and alleviate what is seen by a lot of people as an abuse of the ambulance service. Because, you know, I think we need to be clear, an ambulance service is an emergency service and it's not a taxi service. And I think we need to be firm, we need to be strong on message on this one here, though.
I think perhaps, too, there may be education, for want of a better word, needed on what the ambulance service is and what the ambulance service does. Because I think a lot of people have a perception that if you call an ambulance, your loved one will be seen quicker and will be seen with more urgency. Sometimes the reality is, if you call an ambulance, what will happen is they'll sit in that ambulance for X number of hours without even getting in the door of the emergency department because there's a queue of ambulances in front of them.
Yeah, you have your finger on the pulse, Donal, and that's a massive issue, as the turnaround times in Letterkenny Hospital sometimes could be 7 and 8 hours. It's huge because of the capacity and because of the demand that's there at the moment. And it can be a very trying place to be, not alone for the person in the ambulance, but for all the staff dealing with that situation. And while you're in the ambulance, then somebody else that maybe needs an emergency more can't get an ambulance available to them. So I think that's why I'm asking for all the people, heads together, including the hospital management, because the turnaround times in Letterkenny Hospital too are probably one of the longest in the country, and that's because of the delay. So anything that we can all do to highlight this issue and to alleviate the pressure and to highlight the fact that just everyone going to hospital is not the answer either. If we can put more resources and to keep them at home. And again, I want to emphasise the great work that has been done by the community paramedics, who have done great work over the last number of years in their respective areas, and Pathfinders doing great work. But I think there needs to be, if the GPs have more role to play to, I suppose, get that message out to their patients as well, that it's not just the answer for everyone to be going to A&E, it's not the answer to be sending an ambulance to every house.
On Pathfinder, and this is, I have to be honest, I was under the impression that at this stage Pathfinder was operating on a 24/7 basis. A caller has been in touch to say it's not. Pathfinder operates Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. And I would have thought if there's to be an extension of Pathfinder, not only do there need to be more vehicles and more paramedics, but it needs to expand so that it's available in the evenings and overnight as well, because surely that's when the main need for something like Pathfinder actually is.
Pathfinder has been a huge success. It is actually Monday to Friday, but it's on Saturday at 8 o'clock. And I suppose additional resources is needed there. But the Pathfinder model has been a huge success, but we need additional resources for that, and there's dedicated teams that we need for that. But the success of Pathfinder has been huge. But I think we all have a role to play in the whole ambulance service issue that I'm referring to. And I think a lot of that will happen in the NowDoc service as well. We need to be closely monitoring that, because the one simple question you would ask, Donal, as I've said from the outset, is the doctors that are in NowDoc now no longer going out to the homes of the patients? We don't see the NowDoc cars in the road. And is it the easy option to just refer them to the hospital? If that's happening, then it's wrong.
Final point, and a caller makes this point. I recently, in the past couple of months, have had to bring my parents to hospital on different occasions. The paramedics have said very clearly they are under-resourced, so instead of appealing to people not to call an ambulance, what about a campaign for more resources?
I think we have huge amounts of resources in the last number of years, but the resources is not the answer when you see the backlog that's happening at A&E. And, you know, people that would be working at the coalface of the A&E would tell you that there's an awful lot of people coming to A&E now that doesn't need to be in A&E. And if we go back to what A&E actually means, it is accident and emergency. And we need to try and take people out of that hospital system and to the NowDoc service. And, you know, there's a lot of good work happening in the Chronic Disease Hub in Letterkenny, a huge amount of work, and the team there deserve huge credit, because they have, over the last number of years, taken an awful lot of people out of the hospital system. There's an awful lot of home supports that have got huge resources in the last number of years. But I think what needs to happen here is some the mindset needs to change of what the ambulance service is about and what the ambulance service is for. To my mind, it has been about an emergency service, and the now doc needs to take up the role that they would have had done previously and needs to be more proactive in doing that.
A caller saying if the elderly were treated in the district hospitals and nursing homes and in their own home by GPs with IVs for dehydration and antibiotics plus blood tests, that would take a lot of the pressure away from the emergency department. I mean, that is pretty much what you are saying there. Question, how much liaising and cooperation is there between NowDoc and the ambulance service? Are they talking enough to each other? Are they communicating enough with each other? And are they working together to ensure that what resources they have between them are maximised to the best effect?
Yeah, I would say the cooperation has never been as good over the last number of years between the community hospitals, between the general hospitals, the ambulance service and the GPs, because a lot of the issues around the hospital, for example, would be things like the delayed discharges that are happening because of the shortage of home help, home support. That's another huge issue as well, getting back to resources. And an awful lot of people are waiting to get into community hospitals that are full as well, although we will have, to the end of next year, the new 110 community nursing unit in Letterkenny. It'll be a huge relief, but I suppose there's a big issue out there, and we need to, I think it's not all aligned on the services. I think we need to try and create that awareness with the general public as well. I think we all have a role to play in trying to keep people out of the hospital system where we can.
Councillor Kieran Brogan, thank you very much. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you about one other thing, and that is the unresolved Donegal County Council budget. We were in Lifford on Friday of last week for the budget meeting. At that point, Fianna Fáil had questions and points of clarification they needed from the executive. As the meeting adjourned that evening, they were awaiting those clarifications. The meeting due to reconvene on Wednesday of next week, which is the day before the actual deadline set by government to have a budget agreed. Can I ask you, have your party received the clarifications that you need from the executive, and do you believe you're closer to a final agreed position and potentially a finally agreed position on council?
No, I have to be honest and tell you, Donal, I have had no correspondence of any kind from the executive in Donegal County Council since we met last week around the concerns that we've had. I look forward to hearing from them, but as of yet, I have had no calls or connections of any kind from them. And hopefully we will in the coming days, because Fianna Fáil has huge concerns around many issues. And hopefully there'll be an address, and hopefully we get some clarification around that. But it's something I look forward to.
Councillor Kieran Brogan, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Donal.
Caller says the only way to be seen is by calling an ambulance, and everybody knows this. I'm not sure. I mean, as Councillor Brogan said, we see more and more cases now where ambulances literally are queuing outside the emergency department before the person can actually even enter the department. And we've heard several cases of people who've arrived at the hospital by ambulance and it's been hours before they've seen. So I'm not sure I would take it as a matter of principle that if you call an ambulance, you'll be seen more quickly. Another caller says, we should be looking at resources. The fact is the county has an extra 25,000 people in it, but we have no extra resources. I think in fairness to Councillor Brogan and to others who are members of the Regional Health Forum, Councillor Jerry McMonagall, Councillor Declan Meehan, Councillor Micheál Nochtain on it as well. I mean, and their predecessors, people like Albert Doherty and others, Councillor Gary Doherty is a member too. You know, there have been, Liam Blaney was on as well, members past and present. They are always calling for more resources. I can absolutely guarantee that as someone who covers those meetings on a regular basis. Now, earlier this week, Jigsaw, the support service, mental health service for young people, issued figures which are disturbing and worrying. Jigsaw in Donegal have seen a 34% increase in demand for their services. We're joined online by Rachel White, who is the campaigns officer with Jigsaw, and she's with us on Zoom. Rachel, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Rachel, those figures have been the fact that there is a 34% increase in young people seeking help for their mental health with Jigsaw. I mean, on the face of it, to me, it's a disturbing figure. Then there's another perspective, I suppose. Is it an encouraging figure because it shows maybe more people in crisis are seeking help?
Definitely, there's kind of like the two sides to that, where it's great that those that are struggling are coming out and reaching out for help, and that there is that help there for them. it's also worrying that there are just like that level of young people reaching out. Like we've just seen the trend isn't just something that we're seeing in Donegal, it's something that we're also seeing across all of our services. September was our highest month yet, and then October came in and beat that again. So we saw this October 1,243 young people sought support from Jigsaw. That same month last year, that's a 24.3% increase across the board from everywhere. So it definitely is. There are lots of young people out here that definitely do need these supports.
Are there seasonal reasons for that? Is it because people maybe had a summer job and they've lost that summer job? Is it that, you know, maybe even as natural as the fact that it's darker, it's colder, it's not as nice, and the season can have an impact on it? Is there a reason that you see that spike in September, October?
I think there is a lot of different reasons why we can't see that spike. It's, you know, going back to school, maybe you're starting your leaving cert year. That can be something that's really stressful. Maybe you're starting college, maybe you've moved away, which is, there's so many different things that can kind of come into a young person's life. Again, as you said, maybe they were kind of enjoying themselves at summer, they'd had their summer job, and these kind of supports get taken away. They kind of, maybe they're not that into going to school, they're not enjoying it, and it's something that they go back to. But this is, even kind of with that general seasonal spike that goes on, this is still something, like, since we started in 2006, this has been the highest ever. And like, that is a really marked increase. It's strictly marketed in Donegal as well. Now, but yeah, it's definitely a strong figure.
Jigsaw does have a drop-in office on Pierce Road in Letterkenny. What proportion of people are drop-in versus people who are contacting you by phone or online?
I don't have the exact figures on it. It would be mainly drop-in. I think most people still do prefer to be that face-to-face. I think it's where people, most people kind of get that emotional connection. It's something that we're still kind of pushing for, to be able to have that. And we're really lucky in Donegal to be able to have a Jigsaw that you can drop in. There's a lot of counties, there's 14 services across Ireland, so as you can imagine, there's a lot of counties that have no drop-in service at all. So that's what we're really pushing for. We're going to open two new, actually, we recently got funding from the government, which is brilliant, to open two new services. So those are going to be opening in Waterford to serve the southeast, and then in Clare. So, but there still needs to be a kind of more push, because clearly the numbers of young people seeking help is just going up and up. The trends are there. So being able to have those face-to-face services like in Letterkenny is really important.
And in terms of Jigsaw's capacity to meet that demand, how is that capacity in Donegal in terms of both resources, personnel, advisors, counsellors, etc., and also literally physical space?
Yeah, there's... It's tough having, obviously, Donegal is quite a large county, being able to have the transport to get there. It'd be great to get more resources in so that we can serve even more of the county. There's always going to be, I work in fundraising, it's so hard to go out and kind of get that, to get that money in, to kind of better equip these services so that every young person in the county can really easily be seen face to face, and every person, every young person in every county. Well, that's the goal generally, is for everyone to have somewhere that they could really easily drop into.
And also you want a setting that's going to respect their privacy and respect their need, perhaps for isolation, for solitude. The last thing someone wants is to walk into a place seeking help, you know, with perhaps very personal issues, and find themselves sitting in a big waiting room with, you know, a number of other people. I mean, that is the last thing they potentially need.
Definitely. No, it's definitely correct. And we've recently done our single session first model, which is, sounds complicated, but it's generally where a young person will come in and they'll get seen a lot quicker. It's really brought our waiting lists down for young people. So they can come in, they can have a longer extended kind of problem solving first session that'll last a little bit longer, and they can talk that through. And maybe after that, you'll be feeling a decent bit better getting that first point of contact and kind of getting those tools early on. They can still obviously come back for more sessions and kind of work through the problems that they have, but it's become a lot more focused, and it's really brought down our waiting times. So being able to even get out the information about the services and that they're there. And although it is worrying to see that many young people needing help, want them in there. If they're having those problems, it's so much better that we can see them.
Obviously, there'll be many cases where you can give the person the help that they need. There may be cases where further medical intervention is necessary. And with that in mind, we got confirmation this week that hopefully in January, we will see a CAMHS consultant appointed in Donegal, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service. Now, I'm sure you work closely with CAMHS yourselves, and if necessary, will refer people. That must be positive news from your point of view.
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, it's brilliant. We all have to kind of work in tandem with this, whether it's kind of primary care providers, mental health charities like us, policymakers, everyone's, because it's such a crisis that's going on right now, being able to have everybody with a focused effort kind of working towards meeting young people where they're at. So Jigsaw is kind of that early intervention service. It's if you're feeling stressed out, kind of catching those problems higher up before you kind of get to that crisis point. But then sometimes and often you need to have somewhere else to go. So it's brilliant to have CAMHS.
You partially addressed this actually a moment ago, but a caller has been in touch. Before COVID, I used Jigsaw services. It was a 12-week programme. Now you're offering one session and the rest is online. Why did that change?
I think it's mostly because of the demand as well, but it's been something that's been lots of research going into. It's definitely not something that we've done without thinking or without, all of our stuff is so based in research. So our psychologists have, and our research team here have kind of worked this single session first model. And it's definitely, there's still capacity to have those extra sessions whenever, you know, if you need them, be able to have that decision beyond the young person. But yeah, to kind of make that impactful difference and to be able to see so many more people and to not be met with a crazy wait time whenever you come in. I think it's so hard whenever you're a young person, you come in and it's okay, I won't see you for 4 months, 6 months. Being able to get your wait times way down is so much more beneficial.
And I suppose too, when someone, for and maybe a very, very big thing for a young person to actually make the decision, I'm going to do it. I mean, and they've possibly agonised over this for quite a while, and they walk in that door and they say, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. Deep breath, walk in the door. And what happens in the next couple of minutes could be absolutely crucial as to where the process goes after that.
Yeah, it can definitely be disheartening to kind of be met with that wait list. It's tough. I know that a lot of different services are under this pressure, but being able to, you know, okay, I'll get to see you in 2 weeks. It's a lot more manageable than having to, maybe you're really, really stressed about exam season. And by the time 6 months comes around, sure, your exams are done. I don't need that anymore. It's being able to meet people where they're at.
Rachel, before we finish up, if someone does want to get in touch with Jigsaw, as we said, there is a physical office on Pierce Road in Letterkenny, but how can people get in touch?
For fundraising, we've got jigsaw.ie/fundraise. We've also got jigsaw.ie/donate. We've got our website, all of our, if you're looking to seek support, if you're looking for to kind of make an appointment, we've got the forms on the website there. Or if there's other queries that you have, they'll all be on there as well.
Rachel White, Campaigns Officer with Jigsaw, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rachel. Rachel there on Zoom. Now, just a couple of your comments before we go for a break. Carter says, speaking of the dual carriageway, a man who was working at signs on the dual carriageway yesterday found my purse and handed it into a shop. The purse has taken a good battering as it's been missing for a while. I'd like to thank him for its good deed. I got my license and cards back, so if anyone knows who it was, please do get in touch. Question, caller says, I'm not sure if anyone can help. I had a small memorial to my son at the Azaranka waterfall for 4 years. There were a few others as well. We went there a few weeks back and everything was gone. Plaques, statues, the lot. Don't know, was it a storm or maybe Donegal County Council lifted them? Is there anyone I could contact just to get any memento back? Now, we did make contact with Donegal County Council, and the council have got back to us to say that Donegal County Council had no involvement in removing a memorial. So I'm afraid, caller, whatever the reason for it was not Donegal County Council. Just want to remind you that there is a quiz running on the programme all this week. I will remind you this a few times over the course of the programme. Thanks to our sponsors, the Silver Tassie Hotel, you could win an indulgent Yonka Delight package at their Seascape Spa, valued at €155. It's a 2.5 hour spa package, including an aromatic steam session and cocoon room, a hot towel foot and back cleanse, a Yonka back massage and hydrating facial, pressure point face and scalp massage, warm oil foot massage, finishing off with snooze room relaxing time and refreshments to be in with a chance of winning on Friday, which is tomorrow. Please answer this question. Which of these is not traditionally associated with Christmas? A, mistletoe, B, candy canes, or C, fireworks? So of those three, A, mistletoe, B, candy canes, C, fireworks, which is not traditionally associated with Christmas? And to take part, just text or WhatsApp your answer, name and address to 086 60 25000. Now, it's always a pleasure to talk to the wonderful Noel Cunningham, author and Harvey's Point ambassador. But I'm afraid rather than speaking about the wonders of Donegal, the wonderful benefits of walking, or indeed the joys of dining in the area he represents, we're speaking about something a little more concerning. Noel, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Donal, and lovely to speak to you and to your lovely listeners. Good morning.
A pleasure, of, as always, Noel, but you had an experience this week. Had it gone differently, maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Oh, my goodness. You know, the extraordinary thing is we are talking about a brush with one of the most beautiful animals we see in our environment, a deer. I was coming back from visiting a friend whose wife's anniversary it was yesterday evening. And because the winter color in the woods and in the vegetation, they're not the easiest to spot. But I saw this graceful animal coming down the hill, and then it cleared the ditch and, of course, right into my path. And thankfully, a county council lorry coming the other way wasn't too close, because had it been, as one of the young gentlemen in the county council lorry said, if they had been a little bit closer, the deer would have been trapped and probably gone through my window, because it would have tried to escape. As it happened, it just took the side out of my car. And my sister had had a similar experience a couple of years ago, and my niece wrote off her beautiful car last year, and she was extremely lucky that it wasn't more serious. So I had no understanding of how frightening it is until it actually happens to oneself. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. I just got a terrible fright, but more importantly as well to note, the two lads in the county council truck, I didn't get their names. They were so kind and so really wonderful. They patched up my car. They had ties in their lorry that they attached to pieces of my car that was falling apart. And I managed, thankfully, to limp to get help, as in 10 kilometre an hour. So a big thank you to them. I have no idea who they were, but they were just delightful.
Well, first and foremost, Noel, thank God we're able to have this conversation. And that's the first thing we say. I mean, we do know, Noel, there is a conversation taking place at the moment about deer management. And indeed, just a few days ago, it was confirmed that a former member of the Defence Forces, a Ballyshannon native, Declan Gillen, has been appointed as a deer management unit coordinator for Donegal to lead conversation with farmers, with the council, with landowners and others in relation to deer sightings and deer hunting. And I suppose it's a conversation that now has suddenly become for you very, very real.
Absolutely. And the most extraordinary thing is my niece rang me last night. She had had a call just perhaps this week sometime, or maybe even yesterday. I can't remember when, she said. And a friend of hers had spoken about coming down their drive, and there were two or three deer in their drive, and talking how beautiful they were, and they are beautiful. But it brought home to me yesterday that a conversation has to be had. I'm an animal lover in every way, but my goodness, the gentleman from the county council I referred to earlier, they say that it's quite remarkable how many of these animals are around, I use the word around, you know, and I would actually now be quite nervous on that particular stretch of road, because where it happened is actually quite wooded and marginally remote, if you want to say. There are no houses on that little stretch of road between Glenties and Ardra that I encountered this beautiful animal. So it is most certainly a problem. And my niece, her situation occurred out Lahie Petticoat Road area. So they are everywhere. And as you say, you don't think about it until you've encountered a situation. And so many people who called me and that I've spoken to today said, oh my goodness, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. And they are. I mean, I genuinely know, I absolutely know that I was lucky that I wasn't killed, because it was very close. If that animal, we're talking about a second's escape, you know, that kind of a way. Absolutely. So a conversation certainly essential.
Noel, as I said, a pleasure to speak to you, and thank God we can have the conversation. Cars, and we often say this, and it's true, cars can be repaired, cars can be replaced.
100%.
And if there is one thing is true, there would be no replacing Noel Cunningham. Noel, have a great day.
Well, that's very... My guardian angels were on my side.